John chapter 14. The title of the message is Because I Live, Ye Shall Live Also. Because I live, He is alive forevermore. He died. He really died. But he didn't stay dead. I believe as Rolf Barner said, a dead Christ can't save anybody. But a living Lord can. A living Lord can. Here in John chapter 14, and I'm going to basically deal with verses 12 through 21. But our Lord knew and felt the heart of his disciples. He didn't just know they were sad and downcast because of the way their expression was on their face. But we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He felt that. He felt their heart. He felt their downcast spirit at that time, because he had told them that he was going to be leaving them, and he knew their hearts just as he knows our hearts today. He knows our hearts. He knows how we feel. And whatever our deepest sorrow is, our Lord knows, and I can't explain how he feels it, but we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can be touched. Now, Philip asked the Lord to show them the Father after he told them that he's going to be going away, and that they knew the way, and they said, we don't know the way. He said, yes, you know the way. You just don't know you know the way. Because he's the way. He said, I'm the way. They were just thinking of an address somewhere, you know. They was thinking of a place on earth somewhere. Or he said, no, you know the way. You know the way. I'm the way, and you know me. I'm the way. And Philip said, well, show us the Father, and that will suffice us. That'll suffice us. And the Lord replied, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Philip, you're looking at the Father. He said, the words that I speak, they're not my words, they're his words. And he said, it's the Father who's working in me and through me. He's doing the work through me. And he said to Philip, if you don't believe my word, at least believe the works that you have seen. If you don't believe my word, believe what you have witnessed. The first thing that our Lord commends to them and to us, the first thing in this chapter right here is faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. Exercise the same faith that you exercise in God, exercise that same faith in me. So he commends faith. The first thing he commends is faith. No one is saved who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. No one is saved who does not believe the record that God gave of his Son. Now he says here in verse 12, let me pick up in verse 12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, what I'm telling you is the truth. It's true. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He's telling them that it's necessary for him to go back to the Father. I can understand. They have been with him now for a good while. They've sat with him, ate with him, listened to him teach. They've wherever he slept out there under the stars, they were with him. And now he's going to go away, and they don't want him to go away. And he's saying to them, it's absolutely necessary for me to go back to the Father. From there, he rules the universe right now. From there, seated at God's right hand, he rules and reigns over absolutely everything. Everything. It's necessary for him to go back to the Father, because it's evident when he goes back to the Father that the Father has accepted him, accepted his work, and accepted all those that he redeemed. Absolutely necessary. But at that time, they didn't get it. You know, they weren't that advanced. They were still babes. They were babes in Christ. They were babes. You don't have to know everything to be saved. You just have to know him. And at that time, they knew him. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But there was a lot of things they didn't understand yet. But he says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Faith is essential to pleasing God. Without faith, the scripture says, it's impossible to please God. Faith is essential to doing any work in the name of Christ and for the glory of Christ. Faith is essential. That's what he's telling them here. And the promise of success is attached to faith. Listen to scriptures here in Hebrews. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is who he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, not half-heartedly. God never teaches us to do anything half-heartedly. The scriptures never teach us. It's always whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. That's what the scriptures teach. And it teaches us here to seek him diligently. And he says, those who seek him diligently, he is a rewarder of them. He rewards them. You seek him diligently for forgiveness. Guess what you're rewarded with? Forgiveness. You seek him diligently for pardon. You seek him diligently for righteousness. And he gives it to you. In the name of Christ, for the glory of Christ, he gives it. It gives that to you. And the Lord promises his disciples that they will do greater works than he has done. Well, when you first read that, you think, wow. Wow. He says here, greater, you're going to do greater works than what I've done. What's he talking about? You'll do greater works than what I've done. Well, if you take his earthly ministry, few were saved. Few were saved. He had 12 disciples. 12 apostles that he named apostles. But there was not that many that followed him. He was hated. He was despised, it says, and rejected. He was nailed to a cross. But after he died, after he went back to the Father, and after the disciples were gathered there at Pentecost, and they were, the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they went out from there. They turned the world upside down. They turned that Roman Empire upside down. That place which was the seat of Satan, they turned it upside down. And from them, from those men, And from the church, from that little existence, the whole world has heard the gospel. That's hard to say how many have believed over the years through the preaching of the gospel. And that's what he means by greater works than these. Than what you've seen right here in this little locality of Jerusalem. It's going to go all over the world. It's like they started this and it just circle just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden it's all over the world. Greater works than these, he says, shall you do. So it's necessary for me to go back to the Father. There's more to be done. There's more to be done. And we're still doing it. We are still doing it. 2,000 years later, here we are preaching the gospel, believing the gospel, supporting the gospel here in Spring Lake. So it's necessary for him to go back to the Father so that the work can be advanced. And it's necessary for him to go back to the Father on our behalf, as our mediator, as our intercessor. We have what? An advocate with the Father. He's seated right there with the Father. It's absolutely necessary for him to go back. I'm glad he went back. And they were too after they understood the gospel better. He's back there seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for the transgressors. And then he's here in verse 13, he talks about using his name in prayer. That's why prayer is so serious. You know, prayer, I find prayer not to be easy. Especially public prayer. It's not easy at all. When you consider you're going before Almighty God, and when you consider you're using the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that puts some weight to it. That puts some real weight to it. But now listen to what he says. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. You know, up to this point, they had been with him, and they were able to sit down by the fireside and open their heart up to him, just sitting across from each other. Have you ever thought? Now I have thought this. There's been times I thought, I wish I could just sit right down with him, right in front of me. And Lord, I've got this problem. Now I know he hears my prayer. I know he's present. But you know what I'm saying. I think you know what I'm saying. Sometimes you just, like they had his physical presence there, and they sat there and they just talked to him. They talked to him. And he talked back audibly. He spoke back to them audibly, and they was able to converse back and conversation back and forth. But he's saying here now that he's going away. And they think, I know they're thinking, we don't have access to him no more. You're going to be so far away. I can understand. And then the Lord comforts. Listen, he's giving some real comfort here to them and to us. Because we've never seen him. We've never sat across the table and saw his physical presence and had him converse back and forth with us as he did with them. But he says here, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. I will do it. He's showing here his deity. That's what he's doing. He's showing him his deity. I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. First of all, he's saying here, faith in his person after he's gone. Faith in his person was to be manifested by praying in his name. We manifest faith when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord shows his deity by saying, that will I do. It's like he's saying, you still have access to me. You still have access to my presence, though my bodily presence won't be with you any longer. His spirit is as real as his bodily presence. That's why I was hesitant trying to say what I was trying to say about sitting across the table from me. But his spirit is every bit as real and present as when his bodily presence was with them. It's just as real. And he's saying here, whatever you ask in my name, showing his deity, showing his presence, he's saying, I will do it, and by doing so, the Father's glorified. You know, when the Lord answers our prayer, when he really answers our prayer, first of all, it was ordained of God, that situation that brought it about, for him to answer it. And every time he answers it in a way that God the Father is glorified. Now, you and I, most of the time, think of him answering it according to our need and getting us out of a situation. But every time he answers it, it has to do with the glory of his Father and our Father. Our Father, too. We have the same Father. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Take my word for it. Trust me. Trust me. They're about to go out into a God-hating world. You know, for years they were right there in Jerusalem. Now they're about to go out to a God-hating world. They're about to go preach to a bunch of, even among the Jews, those who hate God. They wouldn't say they hated God, but Christ said, you're of your father, the devil. And he said, he's encouraging them, and he's encouraging us. He's encouraging us, first of all, to pray. I don't believe any of us, or anyone that I've ever known, none of us pray as much and as often as we ought to. None of us. We usually have to be driven to it. Pretty much, I mean to truly pray. We pretty much have to be driven to it. But in saying this also, he's saying this, that will I do. He's talking also here about his resurrection. He hasn't died yet. He's letting them know, I've got to die. I'm going to die, but I'm going to live. I'm going to rise again. And whatever you pray in my name, I'll do it because I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But in 3 days, I'm coming out of the grave. And I'm going back to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And I'll do it to the glory of God the Father. But now listen. The religious world, the false religious world has used this and abused this. They've abused this. This is not a blank check with his name on it. It's not. But what it is the right of any child of God to come into God's presence and use the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Any child of God. Any. We have the right to use his name. In using his name in prayer is to seek the Lord himself. That's what it is. To ask in his name. Now listen. To ask in the name of Christ is to do it right. If we understand what we are doing. Is to completely set aside our will in the matter that we're praying about. Is to set aside our will. when we pray in His name, when we use His name. And now here in verse 15, he makes a change in the subject, a change in his thoughts, so to speak, a new thought. He has a new thought. He was speaking to them about leaving, but he's telling them, I'm leaving, but you ask in my name, I'm alive and I'll do it. You know, don't fear that there's going to be a separation and you can't get a hold of me or get to me. But now he turns to this matter of love, because love is revealed. This is important. Love is revealed by obedience. That's how it's revealed. Love not in word only, but in deed and in truth. And he says here, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not like that young rich ruler said, which one? No, it's not which one. It's keep my commandments. What are his? It's his teachings. Go read the Sermon on the Mount. Those are his teachings. The doctrines of Christ are the teachings of Christ. And that's what he said, if you love me. You know, listen, he doesn't say, if you desire to enter into life, keep my commandments. He doesn't say that. Because that's not how. That is not how we enter into life. We are given life by the grace of God. But he says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will follow me. If you love me, you will submit to me. A person who will not submit, if this person is under the authority of someone else and they will not submit, there's no love there. Period. There's no love. And that's what he's saying. If you love me, keep my commandments. Paul said the love of Christ constrains me. Love constrains me. It was love that caused Paul to lose everything. He said, I've suffered the loss of everything for Christ's sake. It's love that did that. He was willing to forgo everything for Christ. He was willing to forgo everything and suffer everything for the elect's sake. That's us. That's us. What are his commandments? Well, as I said, it's his teachings. But A.W. Pink said this. The commandments he's talking about here is the whole revealed will of God. It's the whole revealed will of God. If you love me, not if you're trying to obtain life, but if you love me, you'll submit to me. You'll keep my teachings. And I tell you this. If you and I love Him, if we love Him, we will be in His Word, learning of Him, being instructed by Him. Just like tonight, what we're being instructed right now. We are being instructed from His Word. And now he gives them a word of comfort. Because remember, He's going away, and this is... He knows this is on their mind. Sometimes somebody can say something and everything else they have to say goes right over your head. You know, you're just stuck right there. And so he knows that they're still right as he's talking to them. He knows their hearts are sad. They're sorry. I mean, they've got sorrow going on. He knows that. And so he says here, I'm going to pray the Father. I will ask the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, one besides me. He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And one of the things He's given here, He's assuring them of eternal preservation. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He'll give you another comforter. And that word comforter also has the word advocate. It also means advocate. But it also means this, and I like this. It means one to stand alongside to help. I'll give you another comforter. I'll give you another one to stand alongside you and help you along the way. And he's going to be with you forever. He's never going to leave you. In fact, he's going to be in you. He's not just going to be with you, stand alongside of you. He's going to be in you. You and I know that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit, which is God, the Holy Spirit is a very real person. Just as the Son is a very real person, and as the Father is a very real person, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is a very real person, and He's in you. How is it that from time to time you find great comfort in the Word of God? I'll tell you how that is. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it. He opens it up to you. He gives you an understanding. He comforts your heart with the Word of God. He does that. And he does that because he's in you. He's in you. He's an advocate. He's one to stand alongside of you. He's a very real person. You're not going to be left alone. In fact, this is going to be such a close union because, you see, Christ walked among them. They walked beside of him, talked to them. He said, but the Holy Spirit, he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. And he calls him here, listen now. Let me read verse 16 with it again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now listen, he's speaking to us too. This is written to us, just like it was written, just like he was speaking to them at that time. Even the Spirit of truth, so you can trust him. You know, Christ has said he was the way, the truth, and the life. This is where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. They are three distinct persons, but there's one. They are one God. That's why the Lord said to Philip, he that's seen me has seen the Father. We are one. We are one. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. They can't see the Holy Spirit because he's Spirit. Neither knoweth him. They can't know him. It's impossible. It's impossible to know the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to know Jesus Christ. It's impossible to know the Father except you be born again. Because that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. See, that's on another level. That's a completely other level. You see, in this life, you got plant life. Then you have animal life, which is far above plant life. Then you have human life, our life, since the fall, since we spiritually died in Adam. We have human life, which is intelligence and reasoning, which is far above the animal, as the animal is above the plant life. But then there's spiritual life. There's the life of God. God is Spirit, it says. There's the life of God. And that is so far above us as we are above the plant life. I mean, it's incomprehensible. But when a man is born of God, he can know the things of God. That's what our Lord said. He can know the things of God. That's what Paul wrote over in Corinthians. But the world can't. That's why the world can't understand. That's why the world thinks it's foolishness. That's why when you tell the truth of the gospel, the world thinks you're a nutcase. They look at you like you're a cult. Because they don't understand him. They don't know him, can't see him. They have no understanding at all. They live in darkness. But here he says he's going to give the spirit of truth. And we know that in the scriptures, the spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. He guides us and directs us into all truth. That's how you and I know the truth. He guides us into all truth. And he is the truth. And he reveals the truth that are contained in the scriptures. That's how I don't know these things. You don't know these things because you took a commentary and laid it down beside the Bible. No. You read the Word of God and then one day you say, I see. You don't know how many times I've had people when after I preached. And I did the same thing to Henry. I said, I never saw that before. But it's so clear now. It's so clear. That's because the Holy Spirit revealed the truth through the preaching of the Word. The world, the natural world, natural men, they can't receive the Holy Spirit. They can't understand the gospel. Their ears are deaf, their eyes are blind, and they are dead, spiritually dead. But you know him. That's what he says. You know him. That's like the Lord said, you know the Father. And he says, show us the Father. He said, you're looking at him. And he's saying here, you know him. You know the Spirit of truth. You know him. For he dwelleth with you. Christ had the Spirit without measure. He was with them all along. He was walking with them all along in Christ, in that man. He had the Spirit of God without measure, the Holy Spirit. And he said, he dwells with you. Now he's going to be in you. What a mystery. Don't you think this is getting confused? No, don't try to figure it out. Just believe what he's saying. You can't figure God out. God is too immense. He's too great for us to comprehend. But he's holy. And he's just. And he cannot lie, so we can believe him. We can take him at his word. In that man, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is God, and yet a man, the Holy Spirit dwelt in him without measure. And he's telling them that he's dwelt among you. You know him. You know him. And he's going to be in you. Same Spirit. Then he's going to give him a promise. And his promise is to us also. I will not leave you comfortless in your darkest hours, in your loneliness. I'll not leave you comfortless. You know, he said, the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Didn't he say that? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know this, you know, I may live a long time and may end up in a nursing home and I may end up dying in a home, in a room, all by myself. But I won't be by myself. I will never be alone. Never be alone. Listen, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When everybody else is gone, nobody else is around. He said it's in the Psalms, I will carry you even to your old age. I won't leave you. But here's what this means. I will not leave you comfortless. It means this. I think it's in your margin. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. You won't be orphans. He comes to us in spirit now, which is every bit as real as his physical presence. Yet a little while, verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. You see me. You know, it's like this. In a little while, you're not going to see me, but you see me. You're not going to see my physical presence, but you see me. In faith, with the eye of faith. Is Jesus Christ real to you? How real is he to you? Do you see him? He's, to the believer now, to the believer, he's as real as you are yourself. You look in the mirror, you see yourself, you know, you're real, you see yourself. He's that real to you. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more. You know, the world saw him for a little while. They saw him for a little while. Over there right now in Jerusalem, where they're being bombed, over there right now, there was a time they saw him walk those streets. They saw him grow up from a child. They saw Jesus Christ grow up from a child. They saw him as a teenager. They saw him as a young man. They heard him preach over there. They saw him nailed to a cross. They witnessed, there was a whole generation over there that witnessed the nailing of Jesus Christ to the cross. They saw him. But the world, he said, will come a time they will see me no more because I'm going back to the Father. But you see me. You see me every day. You see me in my word. Do you see Christ in the word when you pick it up and read it? You see me in my word. You see me out here in creation. When you hear the thunder roar, you think of it as the voice of God. You don't think of it as just thunder. I don't. Job said his voice thundereth. He says his voice over in Revelation is like the sound of many waters. You hear the rush. I've stood at Niagara Falls and listened to that thing. Oh, the roar of that fall is nothing compared to the voice of God. You see him in every turn, don't you? You see him in providence. Right now, you know, I'm kind of excited to see what's going on. I'm like, it's like the Lord's doing something. There's something going on, it seems like the Lord's. It just appears, well, he is doing something. We know that. You know, he is doing something, but maybe he'll come back here real soon. Maybe he will. That would be something. You see me. How do you see Jesus Christ? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's how we see him. We see him as the Son of the living God. That's what the eunuch said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You see me as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That's how you see me. You see me as your wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see me as the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. You see me as one altogether lovely. That's how you see me. You see me. I tell you sometimes, many times I've stood and I've preached and I've known family, loved ones, you know, in the congregation. And my heart just aches that they could see what I see. What was it I read to you when Paul was there before Agrippa? He said, I would to God you had what I had except for these bonds. I wished every one of you believed. I wish you had what I had. I wish you were as like me, saved by the grace of God. You see him as your all and in all. Now he says, because I live, you should live also. Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Spirit of Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, day by day, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Over in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. I look for him to appear. I look for the Lord to appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, you see me. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. We're one. This, our union, he's speaking here of our union. It's a oneness. I in the Father in me, you in me. What a mystery. But it's real. It's real. This union is real. This union with God in Jesus Christ is very, very real. But only those whom the Lord saves know it. Nobody else knows this. And I close here with verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. It's evidence. It's evident that he loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh Lord, help me to love thee. Make yourself known to me. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know him as much as I can know him in this life before I go.